is it, Billy?
Why aren't you in bed? What's wrong, Billy? Is something the matter?
Mother.
Yes?
It's all right if I leave the lights on, just for tonight.
Halloween is the beginning of the witchcraft year. It is the first holiday. It is the beginning. It is the holiday that celebrates the beginning of destruction and the beginning of death, which is winter, the winter season. And it's long been a day when
people... I know there are witches because, objectively, the Bible tells me. I know subjectively because I have had to learn the hard way. Yes, witches do poison and give people poison. It doesn't just happen in Walt Disney fairy tales of a poison. Here, give the little child this little apple, which has been what? Poison.
She flew through the night air on missions of destruction. And everything she touched turned to death and disease. She was the hag, the devil's agent, the poisoner, the one with the evil eye.
For some crazy reason, people are inordinately curious about that kind of thing. As a matter of fact, the occult invokes or seems to provoke a spirit of curiosity in the minds of many people. And some people, even in very early age, youngsters, 5, 6, and 7, begin to delve into the occult, begin to become interested, perhaps through peer pressure or parental example or whatever, probably television, and some of the entertainment modes that they might look at. Movies and books and the like.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
Many sights to see as I look through my window. Many people I wish I could be. It's strange. So very, very, very strange. You've got to pick up every step. You've got to pick up every step. Some stupid people riding around in really circles like this. You've got to make them hit. Try again, leave anybody else to it.
Who hasn't heard from the time of their early youth of people pronouncing magical words about fairy godmothers and about witches? Certainly Halloween, with its accoutrements and paraphernalia of witchcraft, Satanism, demons, witches, black cats, and goblins, contributes to it all.
Demonology, witchcraft, voodoo, murder, rape, blasphemy, suicide, assassination, insanity, sex, perversion, homosexuality, prostitution, Satan worship, gambling, barbarism, cannibalism, I mean, sadism, desecration, demon summoning, necromantics, which is forbidden in the Bible, most of these things.
Peculiar things happened at the end of the 15th and beginning of the 16th century. Namely, it would seem that the female population increased more rapidly than the male population. Why this was so, difficult to ascertain. Possibly extensive war saw the decimation of male numbers. some have argued that women were more immune to diseases that were rampant at the time, including the plague, so that you would develop this kind of disproportion within the population. Now, the importance of that in a patriarchal society is that women begin to outlive men, and not only that, women, because of their excessive numbers, do not find husbands. They don't marry and become, willy-nilly, independent. And in a patriarchal society, this is a very, very difficult thing to come to grips with.
Roman times, women continued the ancient traditions of the old religions with 1,000 small ceremonies in their daily lives. They were leaders, counselors, visionaries, and healers. In Europe, their villages knew them as wise women. The Christian church and state branded them witches and condemned them as worshippers of the devil. Their history, once lost, is being reclaimed by a new generation of women. In villages all over feudal Europe, women and men worked side by side. Theirs was a religion of rural life and changing seasons, of oral traditions and beliefs passed on within families.
Hair-raising junk. I hate to even tell you a little bit about it. I'll give you just a very little bit in this tape now. And all that I ever want to say about it, because it's not the type of thing that I want to go into, because he details some of the most chilling and horrifying events that you can imagine. The aberrant behavior of the possessed, as well as the various supernatural phenomena occurring during exorcism, which frankly I think demons like. I think they enjoy it. I think that people who get involved in that kind of thing are playing directly into the hands of Satan the devil.
Yes, yes, yes! The old demon of darkness!
The original word witch, it comes from an Anglo-Saxon root, wick, which means to bend or shape. To bend or shape consciousness, and thus to bend or shape events in your life. Essentially, it is the remnants in the West of the old shamanic traditions, the traditions of developing within yourself altered states of consciousness without using drugs or without, you know, using chemicals, but through meditation and through very, very simple methods like chanting, like singing together.
The mere fact that women are singled out particularly, I think, says something about our society, about our culture, which, to a large extent, is misogynist. We get it even in the New Testament, in the writings of St. Paul, that it is woman who introduces sin, it is woman who is the temptress, in a sense, it's woman who is the cause of the fall. So there's a very, very strong element of this, both in the New Testament and certainly right throughout the Christian period.
In Guilt and sin were now part of every Christian's life. Sexuality was no longer a gift, but the root of all evil. And woman was the obstacle to man's holiness. From every pulpit, celibate priests declared that the end of the world was at hand. The pious would go to heaven. The wicked would burn in hell. St. Thomas Aquinas wrote that next to contemplating God, the greatest pleasure for the blessed ones in heaven would be watching the tortures of the eternally damned. In the 14th century, the end of the world arrived in the form of the Black Plague. It was followed by a series of epidemics that swept across Europe for the next 200 years. The priests said it was God's punishment for sin, but their sacraments did not ease the suffering. People turned to the village wise woman in search of help and comfort.
Strife, uncertainty, clash between Protestant and Catholic, and most important, a kind of groundswell of anti-clerical feeling. It strikes me that the witch craze is a kind of an answer for institutions which feel threatened. In other words, if one could convince the lower classes that their difficulties arose from the fact that witches were present and were blighting the harvests, were causing barrenness in the marriage bed, what have you, it would sort of take the pressure off the establishment. It's not the state, it's not the Pope, it's not the bishop who is the cause of your anguish. It's the cursed presence of the witches.
It was an age that marked the rise of the bureaucratic state and the emergence of capitalism. In cities all over Europe, a new profit ethic was beginning to take hold.
The witch hunts were a business. They were profitable. For each witch trial, there'd be meticulous bookkeeping. Every single step of the witch trial would be costed. There'd be a charge for going and getting the witch and seizing her. There'd be a charge for escorting her. There'd be a charge for locking her up and guarding her. There'd be a charge for someone to bring her meals if she were given meals. There'd be a charge for someone to keep the books of all of these charges. Every single step generated costs, and those costs had to be paid by somebody. If the witch had any property at all, her property would pay those costs. Her assets would be confiscated and seized. She not only had to pay the bills for her own capture, imprisonment, torture, and execution, but there was a whole secondary industry that sprang up around the witch burnings. First, it provided amazing employment opportunities for lawyers, for judges, for people who would sit on the tribunals.
Now anyone could be accused. And the witch hunts were well-organized campaigns. One accusation by a neighbor set the wheels in motion.
On how to burn a witch was done by not one but two Dominicans, Malleus Malifaciarum, in the late 15th century. And I've studied the book, and it's unbelievable. It's a pure study of repression and projection, therefore. And so it's a highly sexual book, and it's all about the projection of men onto others. Fear of their own sexuality, the fear of the night, fear of the dark, fear of women, all of it comes out very strong. But that book was extremely influential.
Commissioned by Pope Innocent VIII, the Malleus singled out women as the primary source of witchcraft.
The witch burnings were a way to take control of women's powers of reproduction, which of course includes sexuality, and women's powers over reproduction, which could include midwifery, contraception, abortion, women's control of women's bodies and reproductive issues. This is part of a process of housewifeization, of domestication of women, that took place over several centuries, but it began in the same period as the witch burnings.
It was a time of social upheaval. As trade expanded, landowners pressed for the confiscation of peasant land. People rebelled as they were driven off their farms and into cities and towns. Those who demanded reform were branded enemies of God. Charges of witchcraft followed hot on the heels of peasant rebellions. Repression increased. Anyone considered helpless, mysterious, or aberrant was victimized, and punishments became public spectacles. Many suffered, but women suffered most of all. Those who spoke out wore the mask of shame. If they gathered in groups, they were plotting against men. Husbands were advised from the pulpit to beat their wives, not in rage, but out of charity for her soul. Those who made a dress too ornate wore the dressmaker's collar. Those who fell asleep in church, the rosary necklace. Others faced the ducking stool.
The witches, the wise women, the healers, we're always also the counselors. It's like a whole other tradition of knowledge and learning that has been suppressed because it had political implications.
The Inquisition announced that no one did more harm to the Catholic faith than midwives. They eased the pain of labor, God's punishment for Eve's sin. They interfered with God's will through the use of birth control and abortion. New laws proclaimed that any woman who dared cure without having studied was a witch and must die. Since most women were barred from university, the rise of the male medical profession was guaranteed. Women continued to practice, but now they did so in fear of their lives. It was the testimony of male doctors that sent many to their deaths. We have been taught to fear the witch, but we are still drawn to her power. Perhaps it's because we remember another time. A time when older women were revered, and the conical half was a symbol of knowledge. A time when the cauldron symbolized the origins of life and the magical power of women.
I think one of the reasons why people fear the word witch so much is that it brings up ideas about women's power. And for 5,000 years or longer, we have been propagandized, really, to fear women's power, to fear female power, to see it as something negative, something to be afraid of, something destructive, something evil. And naturally, we have all those associations that come up with the word witch. That's why, for me, it's important to use that word, to bring it up, to say, look, let's bring out into the light all of this stuff. Let's look at it clearly and realize we don't have to fear it.
There is evidence that women did meet in groups to participate in the old rituals and to exchange news. But as the witch persecutions reached their height, meetings like these became more and more dangerous. Women who gathered at night were thought to be evil, an idea reinforced by the art and literature of the time. It was an age of superstition, and so no one doubted the existence of witches. It was difficult not to believe when thousands were being burned.
where did they come from? Maybe your great-great-grandmother was one. Witches were wise, wise women, they say. And there's a little witch in every woman today. There's a little witch in every woman today. Witches knew all about flowers and trees, how to use all the bark and the roots and the leaves. People were weary of hard-working days. The witches made them feel better in so many ways. Who were the witches? Where did they come from? Maybe your great-great-grandmother was one. Witches were wise, wise women, they say. And there's a little witch in every woman today. There's a little witch in every woman today. Women had babies, the witches were there to help and to feed them and give them some care. Witches knew stories of how life began. Don't you wish you could be one? Well, maybe you can. Who were the witches? Where did they come from? Maybe your great-great-grandmother was one. Witches were wise, wise women, they say. And there's a little witch in every woman today. There's a little witch in every woman today. Some people say that the witches were bad. Some people were scared of the power they had. Power to heal and to help and to care isn't something to fear. It's a treasure to share. Who were the witches? Where did they come from? Maybe your great-great-grandmother was one. Witches were wise, wise women, they say. And there's a little witch in every woman today. There's a little witch in every woman today.